in our weakness, Father, and it is sown into the heart, into good ground, so you can raise it up, a tower, a monument, a pillar for your grace, for your glory. And Lord, we praise you for this. Father, we thank you for the way you're helping us and causing us to stand in our tests, our trials, our temptations, when at times we feel we just cannot go on, that we even come to the end of ourselves, you still cause us to be able to stand by your grace and mercy. And Lord, we want to give you all the thanks and praise for that today. And so, Lord, we desire now that this word that you give to our hearts indeed may glorify and honor the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this morning I want to call our teaching, for those who make notes, a memorial of love. A memorial of love. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Mark. Mark chapter 14. And we'll take it up from verse 1 in Mark 14. Mark 14. Verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of Passover, and unleavened bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him away craftily, and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. And she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. Now, this is a very profound story going on here. And I call this a memorial of love because that is what she is going to be known for. And Jesus said that she will be in the Gospels. And here she is. This story of what this woman had done. And like often when God is on the scene and God is working in our hearts and in our lives, God has a way in which he exposes. And this is why very often the word that we hear week after week, in fact twice a week, exposes. And what does it expose? It very often is exposing hypocrisy and pride. And again, we have the scene set here. Scribes, Pharisees are after Jesus. We're told this time craftily to try and lay a trap. And Jesus is soon ready to be betrayed and to be crucified. And here we see a scene of where this woman coming in the scene, which often was probably male dominated, or certainly the men were on the scene there listening, and God so often works in ways past finding out. And here this woman comes with this spikenard, which is very costly, precious ointment that was used for burial, for anointing a body. And here she breaks the alabaster box and anoints him with this ointment. And the scribes, Pharisees, even the disciples, all those around, totally misinterpret what is going on. But Jesus never leaves us in darkness if we love him. And we walk humbly before him. God will always, in that right time and way, he will open our eyes to see the inner truth of what is actually going on. And very often God will open our eyes in that time and way to see what God is actually trying to do in your life and my life. And he's trying to open up the word. He's trying to show the deep letter of the word. He's trying to show your heart in order to receive what God is really saying and what he's really doing in your life and my life and this church also. That is why we have to be taught by revelation. And our minds and hearts illumine to be open to receive that. Flesh and blood cannot show you these things. You cannot receive these things intellectually with a carnal mind, which so many try to do. No. This woman was revealing humility. This woman was revealing another aspect of love. And that is why I've called this a memorial of love. Because what she was doing, she was giving something to Christ. I just want to read a few things again just to remind ourselves. Verse 4 speaks about those around who were indignant and say that this could be sold for 300 pence and so on. And then in verse 6 Jesus says, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her?" Today we would say, get a life. That's probably what we would say. And Jesus is saying, why trouble her? She's wrought a good work on me. She's doing a good work. He then explains, for you have the poor with you always, and you can give to them when you want. But you won't always have me, Jesus says. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So something was there. The Spirit was there. She was picking up something. She was sensitive before God to anoint him because she was seeing his days are numbered. How do you think she knew that? Where was she seeing that? Because she was watching those scribes and Pharisees. She was picking up all that was going on. She was listening to it. She had seen it probably before. Righteous people, holy people, being persecuted, being martyred. And here was another one. A righteous man on his ways to the gallows. But she wanted to give him something. She wanted to comfort him. She wanted to give all that she had, all that she knew. She wanted to give him something. And verily says, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. A memorial of love. Have you ever just wanted to give God something? With no strings attached? Have you ever just wanted to give him something? You might say to yourself, well, excuse me, but how can you give God something? The creator and maker of the heavens and earth, who's made everything. I mean, come on, get real. How can you give God something? Well, we see here, you can. And that is why it's a memorial of love. She simply gave him something. And God is showing that he's not too great, he's not too big, he's not too awesome in that sense, he is, but in which to receive something from you. How can we do such an act? How can this be achieved? Well, We're taught the principle, and obviously of the deeper life, one of which comes to mind is Romans 12 verses 1-2, where we present ourselves a living sacrifice. We give ourselves completely to Him. That, in a sense, is giving ourselves to Him. But can there be more? I believe there can be more. I believe some of the ways that we simply give to Him is just stopping in our tracks and thinking upon Him, acknowledging Him, not coming before Him with all our lists of our wants and our needs, and I am hurting and I need an answer for prayer for this. Just giving Him your time, your recognition, your appreciation, your thanks. Just giving that time, being before Him in His presence, and just soaking in His presence. That is giving to Him. That is like anointing Him in that sense, like this woman did. And I believe that this is what God is taking us on now in love, as we're maturing and growing and developing in His presence. It's just being in His presence. It's just knowing that He is God. We sing about that. We so often, because of the humdrum life that we live and the speed of life that we live, we just get into our closet quick and out it all comes. Never considering Him. Never just waiting upon Him. Never just thinking, well, what are you thinking now, Lord? What are you saying now? How do you feel? God knows our requests. There are times I've said to the Lord, Lord, you know, life and the way it is just seems to bring these things before You to pray and intercede. It's not at times as though You're even looking for it. It just happens. Whether it's the children going through a trial, or whether it's the husband or the wife, or family problems, you name it, it's just there. You don't have to work it up. And sometimes we're just so impulsive, we're so troubled, we're so anguished, or there's fear, we just can't wait to get it out before Him. And it's like God says, just wait. It's all under control. What is the worry? What is the anxiety? You see. Now the bride is going to be just wanting to be in the presence of the bridegroom. Why does she want to be in His presence? Why does the bridegroom want to be in her presence? Because of love. Love motivates it. You are in the presence of someone, not because you get something out of them, but because you just want to be with them. And that is what God is working in our fellowship. We don't come to church, oh, because it's the word. It's the faith message. It's got to go beyond that. It's got to be deeper than that. We're here because of the love of God, and that we meet with Him, and as He meets with us, so we meet with each other. We just want to be with each other, worshipping, thanking and praising the Lord. And I know that God's doing that. How do I know? Because I hear. I hear with the trials. I hear some of you saying, who've come even from very close backgrounds, family life and everything, but I still hear, you know, there's nothing like just being in the presence of my brothers and sisters and being free to worship Jesus and to talk about Him. And I know they're one with me, because what I'm going through, they're going through. My family doesn't understand that. Of course we love them. Of course we do. That's the love of God working that in our hearts. We are His family at the end of the day. And that is why we don't rush ourselves in His presence. And God is going to teach us yet more about worship. You know, I've often thought, Lord, about our worship, about our gathering together under him. Often I say this, but you know, our gathering in the natural to many, many churches, mega churches, they would laugh at this and say, what a poor bunch of people. Why, they don't even have any musicians. They don't even have a song leader, and so on. Yes, it can seem embarrassing at times. But I have waited on God over this, over the months. I've waited to let God speak. Because I know in myself, or in my mind and thinking, what I would like to see here, and so on. But it's like this question that we always raise, has God made a mistake? No, he hasn't. And I'm coming to a conclusion in this. I believe God will bless in his time and way. But God is blessing us with his presence. And in order to be blessed with his presence, you have to remove things. You have to remove hindrances. And very often at times, this electrical equipment, and it can have its place to worship God, so I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But a lot of this electrical equipment now and that you had that's so associated with worship, quote unquote, can often be the very hindrance of experiencing and hearing God's presence. It can. God has really been emphasizing this to me. So that we can in ourselves worship God. Every one of us is in a sense instrumental in worshipping and praising God. And that we're not having to rely on props, which so often is the case. In many of these places where there's worship and where worship is now turned to just entertainment, you are controlled by that. You are driven by that. You are. It's so subtle how the enemy works. But you see, as God is restoring charismatic body ministry, so that is a means also of him restoring true worship, where each of us have a song, a hymn, an exhortation, something to contribute and to add. You don't often find that in these places. Because a lot of this comes out of the shepherdship movement anyway. No, this is what God's doing. Because he's making you and me sensitive to ministering to him. He's actually telling us, if we want to hear it, what do you want, Lord? What pleases you? What pleases you in worship? What pleases you in full gospel assembly? What is it that will glorify your name? And you know, if we're sensitive enough and we want to hear it, God will start speaking. But most, sadly, cannot accept it. They want to worship God in their way and in their terms. And so you've got all these churches today and these denominations. And you will be told if you want to go and worship God, well, which sort of church do you want to go to? You know? Which sort of church do you want to go to? Because that's what you'll hear. There's only one. And there's only one way of worshiping God. There's only one way of entering his presence. There isn't all these diverse ways that man was. That comes right out of rebellion. Pride. No. And this woman approached the way that pleased Jesus' heart. She's done this to me. She's given this to me. He's turning around saying, look, you people, look, you guys. Look what this woman has done. And God, of course, knows how to do it. He knew how to convict, because most of those standing there were men. Now, because this woman did what she did, that isn't a call for where women, sisters, are going from one extreme then to the other, where that means that they can be called to minister and to be in the fivefold ministry. That is not it at all, you see. That is not it. Let's turn to something else in Scripture. Let's turn to Mark 10. Mark 10. Mark 10, and we'll take it up from verse 28. No, sorry, we'll take it up earlier than that. Let's take it up from verse 23. This is Mark 10, verse 23. This will lead into what I want to actually talk about. Mark chapter 10, verse 23 onwards. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall have rich enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trusts in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters, father, mother, wife, children or lands for my sake and for the gospel. But then he goes on, as God is always so loving and generous, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. After Jesus has spoken about how in the natural it is difficult to enter into the kingdom of God, for the rich to enter in and so on, then Peter, like often he did, he then says, well, Lord, he says unto them, we've left all and followed you. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there's no man who's left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or lands for my sake and for the gospel. Now, how did Jesus know that? Because probably outwardly, Peter had responded. We know that by when Jesus called the disciples and he said, come, follow me. And we're shown that they did. Some of them left their work, their occupation, and they went and followed the Lord. So why is Jesus, in a sense, contradicting here what Peter says that I have done? Well, Jesus, knowing all things, knowing the heart of man, knew that at his betrayal they would forsake him and that they would go back. And they did. And we note that Peter indeed did go back to his profession. Because when the Lord appears after he's been raised from the dead, he appears to them on the seashore when they're trying to fish and so on. So Jesus knew exactly the heart. Peter, of course, is speaking out of the emotions. Well, we've done it. I'm following you and so on. And we do exactly the same at times. We speak out of the flesh. We speak out of the emotions. Well, I am a follower. I have settled it with God. I've gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm following. I've presented myself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, as a living sacrifice and so forth. We can so often speak these things out of the flesh, out of the carnal. And that is why God tests our hearts, to see what is really there. Knowing that he was going to do that with Peter as well. And thank the Lord that God never gave up on Peter. Because after his failure, his betrayal, we know a wonderful thing that God did. And here is the love of God. That he challenged me and said, do you love me? I do love you, Lord. Do you love me? Oh, yes, I do love you, Lord. I do love you. Third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. And at that point, when Peter began to realize that he couldn't do it in his own strength, in his own pride, his own self, he then acknowledged, you know all things. What was he saying? I'm in your hands. It is mercy. Then Jesus said to him, now you can hear. Go and feed my sheep. And that is what he does with us. Until he brings us to the end of ourselves, then he says, now you can hear. I'm going to speak to you. You see? And so he has to bring us at times to the end of ourselves trying to please God. He brings us at the end of ourselves when we say, Lord, I love you. I love you. I will never forsake you and so on. I hear so many believers say that. But he's got to bring you to the end of yourself before you can say that. And we don't see this until the trials come. And then we realize in that trial, I have betrayed the Lord. I have forsaken him. I have compromised. But does God give up? He doesn't. He's simply bringing us to the end of ourselves so that we can know that true love. And when we know that true love, when he reveals that true love to us, that is when then we change. We cannot change, we cannot respond to God's love until God's love touches our life. God first loved us. It is not within us. And this is what he's doing here. Peter's saying, oh, I've left everything for you and so forth. His servant said, Peter, you haven't. He's not listening here. But until later on do we realise we see a different Peter. And it's the same with us. And that's why God is raising a memorial of love. A love that will stand, that will be recognised, looked at. A true love that is engraved upon that stone, you see. Because it's come out of revelation. It's come out of God revealing it first to you. That is why I'm never too quick to shout out, Lord, I love you and I'll do anything for you. I'll follow you and so on. I am so aware that those words can only come when they are revealed, when they are truly shown, when it comes out of trial, out of test and so on. And of course they are there. And should be there. How do we know? Because we sing choruses. We sing hymns. All of which are expressing our love, our thanks, our gratitude. But very often you read those words and you know you have to think twice about what you're saying. I know we know this very well, but John chapter 3 verse 16. Here is God's love. John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is God's love to man. No, nothing wrong with it. And he paid the ultimate price to reveal the validity of that love. That it's not just in words, but in deeds. And he could give no more than himself, his son, offered up as a sacrifice. There is his love revealed. There is his memorial of love. And so God is going to work this within us. As I bring this to its conclusion, as we prepare our hearts for communion, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, again the great love or charity chapter, in verse 4 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, he says, love or charity suffers long, is kind, envies not, vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. So we note here that true love is kind, and true love suffers long. To get these experiences, it takes a lifetime, a walk. Love is a fruit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And like all fruit, it is developing, maturing, growing. And so we are experiencing more of God's love. Because before we can love, you have to experience that. You have to be touched by it. Your eyes have to be opened. You cannot love your enemy unless you know how God loves that person. It's impossible. Do you know, it's better just to be honest. And just if you've got somebody that has upset you or brings the worst out of you, it's better just to be honest and say, I can't love that person. Everything within me detests that person. Than trying to pretend, you know, love you. Love is so cheap today. You know, you see it around today. You see it even in relationships. When you know full well it isn't there. Love you, babe. And all this sort of thing. It is so cheap today. That's why we've got 1 in 3 marriages breaking up. And yet they have a talk about love. But love has to be tried. Has to be tested. It's put in the furnace. And sometimes you are tested to the ultimate. That there's just nothing left. You know? That is a memorial of love. And that love is a love that will just consider the Lord. I'm just interested in you, Lord. I just want to know what you're saying. I just want to know how you feel. Just talk to him that way. I do. I know myself too well. I've got all my list ready to bring before him. I've just said sometimes, I'm not going to bring this list today, Lord, because you know anyway. I'm more interested in you. I just want to worship you. I want to give to you the way that I can give. And you know, when you come before God, you'll find in time that you are giving to him. This is incredible. Because the bride must give herself to the bridegroom. As you've got no marriage. You've got no relationship. A woman who marries her husband, if you want children, she has to give herself to him. And he has to give himself to her, as you have no children. You see? There is that giving, that ultimate giving, that intimacy that is to be found in love and in marriage. This is why we're going to open up, when the Lord leads, the Songs of Solomon. And we're going to begin to see it in a completely different light. It is giving to the Lord. And that woman gave to him. She picked up somewhere what he was about to face. And it was her way of giving some comfort to him. Because that didn't come from the disciples when the Lord needed that comfort. At that hour, what had happened to them? They had fled. Not only had they fled, but they had gone to sleep on him. So he saw deeper what this woman was doing. And this is why she is recorded in the Gospels. And this is a memorial. This is what ultimately I am seeking for and what I will work in you if you allow it. Is that sort of love. Now we men, we need to learn a few things. Women very often are more sensitive and they are attuned to what I'm saying than we men are. We see it slightly differently, you see? And so sometimes God will allow the sisters, women, to speak, to minister to us men. And that, of course, is exactly what the Lord was doing here. You see? This is why Jesus never rejected women. And that the Apostle Paul never rejected women. They played a very great part in ministry and in worship and in giving and so forth. A great part. And God is restoring that. So that there doesn't need to be this strife amongst the sexes that we have today. And it should never be found in the house of God. Never. We all learn from each other. And if we're humble before God, and we're humble and serve each other, we will learn from each other. That is ultimately what it's to be about. So that God can raise a memorial of love in this assembly. Because I'm going to tell you, with all that we have, and all we're being given, if at the end of the day we do not love, forget it. It's a waste of time. And though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not love or charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And that's all it is. It's a load of noise, hot air. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind, envies not, vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, whether there be they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I stood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul had got it right. But Paul had to grow, mature into that. He can't speak those things by the Spirit unless it's also his experience. That is the point. And there we are, a memorial of faith. Well, let's, with that message, prepare our hearts now to receive communion. And God is so good, he's so faithful, never gives up on us, but he's going to perfect us in his likeness and in his way, is he not? Hallelujah. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our King. Let us whisper his name, wonderful name, Jesus our Lord and King. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our King. Let us whisper his name, wonderful name, Jesus.
outshines the sun. See him clothed in his robes of righteousness, God's beloved Son. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our King. Let us whisper his wonderful name, Jesus our Lord and King.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Praise you, Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we likewise, being part of the body of Christ, we look upon the fact that he gave his body, and that his body was abused, broken in the sight of man, that in that breaking there might come healing, deliverance, resurrection. And though it may even be that you feel you are breaking or being broken, God never ever leaves you in that state. God will never leave us in a state of which he starts, but he will perfect and he will finish that work both in this church and in your life. And that resurrection will come, because that resurrection is a healing, is a joining, is a restoring.
My soul, my Jesus, my Jesus, is the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 is the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior my soul. Here comes Jesus. See him walking on the waters. He'll lift you up, and he'll help you to stand. Here comes Jesus, he's the master of the waves that roll. Here comes Jesus, he'll make you whole. Here comes Jesus, see him walking on the waters. He'll you are, and he'll help you to stand. Here here comes Jesus. He's the master of the waves at home. Here comes Jesus. He'll make you whole.
Hallelujah. And after the same manner, Jesus took the cup, and when he had drunk, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you should drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes." And so, we're reminded that as we are taking these elements, the Lord's body, the bread, and now we take the cup, it's a reminder of his death till he comes, which speaks of it not complete yet, because we're to experience the life, the resurrection, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do so, then we marry, we go in to the marriage. And until then, we appropriate it by faith. And this is a reminder of what we take, that it will be completed, and we shall see him as he is. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for our souls. And I believe that you're here now. Standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for our souls. And I believe that you're here. Yes, I believe that you're here now. Standing in our midst. Here with the power to heal. Here with the power to heal now.
And the grace to forgive.
How great is your love that reaches to the heavens? How great is the heart that sought and rescued me? How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? How great is your love that How great are you, Lord. How great are you, Lord.
Mighty God. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, again, what a delight and pleasure it is just to draw one side and just to be and to come into your presence. Lord, we don't have to perform. We don't have to act. We don't have to lie, pretend. We each of us, Lord, are naked. But equally with that nakedness, we're also covered with the robes of righteousness. And Lord, we are in the palm of your hand. We're engraved in your hand. We know that, Father, because those marks that they put into your hands when they crucified you will eternally be there as a reminder. And that is why we are engraved in your hands. And nothing can pluck us out. What a wonderful message this is, Father. What such good news it is to our hearts and souls and minds. And Lord, let the love of God just naturally flow like those rivers of living water. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to try and be. We are what you have made us by your grace. So Lord, please let that minister to this dying world. Let that minister love and grace and deliverance to those around us, our family, our children, whoever we encounter, Lord. Let us take peace. Let us take light. Let us take deliverance, healing into any situation, Father. And we thank you for this. I thank you, Lord, for this meeting that you made it possible. And I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep each one of us till we assemble again. For we ask this in Jesus' name.